Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I have some new guests, and then I have a returning guest. So I know you're going to enjoy this show. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is go bother somebody. That's right. Go make a mess of everything. Wake somebody up, tweet somebody, text somebody, inbox somebody, call somebody. If they're in a meeting right now, tell them to stop the meeting because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And they definitely don't want to miss today's guest. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to introduce our first guest, Mr. Jim Loughran. He is CWE, that's right, an award-winning author of 50 Ways to Love Wine More. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Well, good morning, Sharifa. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, let me ask you a question, Jim.
I'm ready.
I just making sure you was ready. Did you wake somebody up? Did you tell somebody? Did you text somebody? Did you let anyone know?
Absolutely.
Okay, who,
Absolutely.
Jim? Who, Jim? Who'd you tell?
Well, I told my publicist and told her to go talk to everyone she knows. So
Oh.
hopefully the I just threw a rock in the pond and I'm waiting for the ripples to go out into the universe.
See, that was a good answer, Jim, because I thought you were going to be like, I told my wife, and I'm like, that doesn't count. You're one, that's just one person. You know what I mean? I need you to go outside of that. Okay. So I wanted to introduce you first because I'm a wine lover, wine connoisseur. And you
Oh,
know, I'm in
wonderful.
Long Beach, California. We're always taking trips to Santa Barbara, going up, having our little wine tasting tours. But I just had to know, why are you so passionate about wine?
I wish I knew exactly. I think wine is something that bites certain people at some point in their lives, and they realize that it is much more than just a nice little beverage to enjoy. And many people can remember the exact moment when wine really spoke to them and spoke to them at a deep level. It sounds a little corny, but you have to consider the fact that wine has been part of the human story for 10 or 12,000 years. And it's been intimately involved in religion and art and medicine and so forth for all of that time, all over the world, or for most of the world. So it's really deeply woven into the tapestry of who we are as human beings. And I think that at times it is a gift from the gods, and it does speak to us that way.
I had no idea. When you, how has it been used in medicine?
Well, until the advent of antibiotics, wine was probably the most commonly used medicinal substance, and it was used in two ways. One is that it was used in an antibacterial approach. So if you were wounded in a battle or just in day-to-day life, you were frequently treated with wine-soaked rags. Wine is a very great antibacterial. And wine was also used as the medium in which other plants were dissolved for various types of therapeutic drinks and so forth. So it's been a medicine. Probably wine and honey have been the two major medicines throughout history. And as I say, it's only with the advent of antibiotics and the discovery of bacteria in the 1800s that that began to change.
Wow, I can see you've definitely done your homework, done your research on why. I had no idea. All I know is someone somewhere figured out penicillin and now everything is history. We're all well, everything's well. But I had no idea about the wine. The only thing it symbolized for me is I was getting older, you know, because back in my 20s, I would be heading out. Let me give me a drink. Let me go to happy hour. Now I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll just grab a glass of wine.
There
Just
you go.
stay in.
It speaks to you in a slightly different language than the drink does. Not that there's anything wrong with a nice drink occasionally, but yeah, it's really kind of a remarkable substance.
So what made you write a book about it, though?
For many years, I taught wine classes, and I often had people come up to me after class and they would say something like, I love wine. I love going out with whoever, my girls, my boys, whoever it was, and having some wine. But my better half is committed to beer. And I just can't get him or her to join me in the wine trail. They just
Sure.
drink beer. So what can you do? Can you do anything to help me? So that was actually the genesis of my first book, which is titled A Beer Drinker's Guide to Knowing and Enjoying Fine Wine. And I really love the process. And I like bringing wine to people. Wine, unfortunately, has an elitist cultural shell around it, which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, after all, at its heart, it's fermented grape juice. It's not a precious object. It's not platinum, gold, silver, and diamonds. And yet we have allowed this foolishness to build up around wine, this mystique, this rarity feeling. And so a lot of people are kind of intimidated by wine. They might enjoy it, but they're a little wary of talking about it in public or in front of people they don't know, and they don't want to sound dumb or whatever the case may be. So my writing is all really targeted at letting people just be more comfortable. Just realize that it's not any big secret society. It's just a wonderful thing to share and enjoy and to take pleasure from.
Wow, it sounds like a secret society, though. It sounds like classes and training and a whole lot of indoctrination. No, I'm just kidding about the indoctrination, but it does sound like a secret society. I have more questions for you, Jim, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Because he is a serial entrepreneur, probably an entrepreneur, probably before he could talk. I don't know, but he's going to tell us a little about some of his current businesses and his journey, Mr. Kyle Claus. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You are so welcome. I love you. Okay, so explain your backdrop to me.
This,
Yes.
the painting? Oh, honestly, that was just a painting that me and my wife got like in our first apartment, and it's traveled with us for like three places now. So I don't know. I thought it was a little distracting. So I almost asked you if you needed me to take it down. I just noticed it. It's like the best place right now for me to set up. So.
No, it's wonderful. I did, you know how at certain times in the world, and you look and it's like Kyle's protesting, Kyle's like, let's have peace, So I thought it was like a message to the world for the show, all for me,
No, but I mean, it always is good, right? It's always a good message for forever. So,
Yes.
yeah.
I
No, I
love it.
like it though. That's why.
I really like the phrase on an army of one, because that's really what we all have to be. Instead of worrying about what everyone else is
What
doing or
else is
looking
doing?
for support, we just have to be the army of one and try to move whatever we're moving forward.
Absolutely. I mean, you gotta, do it yourself, and hopefully everybody else, whether it's leadership or they see you doing it, but you provide for, in whatever aspect and whatever situation we're in, especially now,
Yes, absolutely. It's so applicable for today's time. I want to come back to you, Kyle, but we just had a question for you, Jim, that people are reminding me I forgot. I need all the help I can get. What's the actual name of your book, Jim?
The most recent book is called 50 Ways to Love Wine More: Adventures in Wine Appreciation.
Yes, I think I appreciate wine more. So I missed the complete title. So thank you for that. Kyle, the reason I brought you in because you're a serial entrepreneur. When did you first learn that you were an entrepreneur?
So I originally actually started, it's funny because I never had the desire to be an entrepreneur, I guess. It originally started with acting. I actually moved to New York City to become a film and television actor. Like, that was my dream. I started doing some stuff. I grew up in Pennsylvania, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, and it's 2 hours away from New York City. I got into college, didn't know what I really wanted to do for the rest of my life. just kind of focused on like, what is, even if it's ridiculous, what is the, you know, nobody does acting from Pottstown, Pennsylvania. So I kind of was a small town kid with huge dreams, and then wanted to stay, you know, within either it was New York or LA, and this was closer to home. So I stayed here and moved up here and, you know, had some good, professional gigs on One Life to Live. And then, you know, just the big journey of that. And then what happened was, it was kind of like playing the long game. And that, what I see now, which I didn't even see then, was that was my why for everything else. And I kind of built the entrepreneurship around that selfish kind of, not selfish, but like goal of what I wanted to do creatively. And, you know, just played the long game of like, okay, what if this takes 10 years? And I'm, you know, what's the normal thing for actors to do? Bartend or waiter or stuff like that. And I just, nothing wrong with that, but I just didn't want to, you know, I figured it could take 10 years before I got anywhere. So that's kind of where the entrepreneurship came. And then I got into real estate, and then that just grew, and then opened up a couple other ways to do, you know, passive, like internet companies, the Amazon company that I started, and the just embarking on a restaurant.
So what are you doing these days? Are you, how, because production is shut down, so there's not a lot of work to be done, but you may have been able to pivot with some of your businesses. So what are you doing these days?
Exactly. So acting is totally shut down. Yeah, 100%. However, there's development projects, like I'm, you know, doing a lot more writing these days and trying to hold meetings to get those possibly developed. And actually have a pretty important meeting with someone in LA later on tonight. I can't really discuss it yet, but that's, you know, that's kind of coming to fruition. But as far as like real estate, that's where everything had to pivot. And, you know, I see back now, we opened in 2012. I started out as a real estate agent, and then figured, wow, the real way to do this is to eventually teach what I can do and open an office with, you know, teaching a lot of other people to do it and kind of have an extension of myself. So me and a business partner, my business partner now, we opened in 2012, and just had to pivot from originally being a rental office and doing a lot of rentals to then sales. The market just changed and became more sales heavy. So started learning that process, doing sales, $1 million listings, $1 million selling. And then, you know, when COVID hit, it was like, funny because a lot of people around here just stopped and was, you know, the sellers thought nobody was going to sell in a pandemic. Like, why should I put my house in the market? Buyers thought that it was a ridiculous time to buy. And agents thought, I can't possibly sell a place right now. I mean, I'm scared to go outside, like rightfully so. I'm scared to get, you know, the virus. But, you know, and this is going back to the army of one thing. It's like, I need to figure out how to make this work. So it's a matter of, you know, how do we do this? How do we adapt without a doubt and keep things moving? And I can honestly say, like, before the pandemic, I would have never thought I could sell a house virtually. And I think I was the only agent that I talked to, one of the only, that actually sold a house through Zoom, through having the seller showing his house on a camera. And the buyer being there, and me and the buyer's agent being there, and just going through and having them put in an offer and having it accepted. And then, you know, it came down to one time they had to walk through during inspection. Mm-hmm. But you know, I would have never said that was possible. And it was like, wow. You know, real estate came down to being an essential business. And, you know, like, that's something across the board that any business can, I feel like, has to do, is just adapt when, you know, when they need to.
Absolutely. So when you, congratulations on closing a listing in a quarantine, like, that should be an ad, like, just how to close a listing in a quarantine.
That was the only one I did virtually, but I was busier than my 10 years previous years. I actually put 10.5 million under contract during the.
Oh, wow. See, now.
I see a book here, Kyle.
What's that?
Real estate by Zoom.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I don't mean that to, you know, I just wanted to lead by example and just show that, you know, you don't have to shut down during this just because it seems like, you know, everybody was looking for answers. And it was just providing the facts to the sellers that things are still moving. And, you know, especially during this time, people wanted to move. They wanted to go from their little two bedroom apartment condo to a something with outdoor space. So mm-hmm. really changed people's perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, so did you celebrate?
I'm too busy right now, but yeah, eventually we're going to celebrate.
You got to get that glass of wine. You got to appreciate it. See,
I do that every night, and I'm looking forward to getting the book from.
I can relate to the thing because we just sold our house before the pandemic, a four bedroom house, and now we're in a one bedroom apartment. So it was like, this was the worst choice we could have ever made. And that's because the pandemic hit right when we sold our house. So
things have changed. It's outdoor space is kind of like gold right now.
Yeah. I know.
To a lot of places.
So I want to introduce, you may have recognized her name, her face. She has been here before. Lovely smile, Sabria Dobbins. And she's going to talk to us. She is the founder and CEO of Project Passport. Good morning, Sabria. You just moved into a one-bedroom apartment?
Yes, we downsized because we wanted to potentially transition to Florida. And then we had just closed in our house in December. And then the pandemic hit a couple of weeks later. So imagine two dogs, a Doberman and a Yorkie, and a fiance and me trying to live in a one-bedroom apartment right now.
Well, it's temporary. I always say you can do anything temporarily. That's what I tell myself. I can do anything, almost anything temporarily. But maybe. One of the things, she's like, maybe, I don't know. I'll take that medicine. It might work, it might not. But one of the things I think is so amazing about you is your energy. You're always like this cheerleader on social media. You're posting, you're doing your own shows, you're doing your own lives. It's just, you are amazing to watch. But tell us a little bit about Project Passport.
Yes. So I run a mental empowerment retreat company. Originally, we were going to be traveling around the world and helping people discover themselves, find purpose, overcome fear, become more productive in their lives. And the pandemic hit. So we actually had a retreat scheduled to Kenya this month. And we ended up having to postpone it to 2021. And we convert it to virtual retreats. And so now I run highly interactive experiences via Zoom, and I allow people to tangibly experiment with their mental health and well-being by gaining active tools and techniques they can use in their lives. So it's really fun, I love it. And you know, we pivoted just as Kyle has, and it's been a really big blessing because we didn't know this part of our company could actually exist.
Mm-hmm. How was that process like for you to pivot, to go from, you know, we're going to Kenya, this huge trip that we've been planning for some time, because that's not a trip that you just wake up and say, you know, I want to go tomorrow. So exactly. You're planning, you're marketing, you're enrolling people, you're getting people to go along with you on this retreat. COVID hits. What is that process like for you? Did you have to take some time off, you know, get a new partner? What was that like for you?
Well, the first couple of weeks, I cried my eyes out every single day. I mean, literally, I cried my eyes out. I was like, oh my gosh, I built my entire business model on in-person events and retreats, and now it is ruined. And so I was stubborn. I didn't want to go virtual. I was like, I made a company to sell physical retreats. I don't want to, you know, go virtual. And so I literally cried on the couch. My fiance had to console me. I was a total baby. I'm not going to lie. And I ended up finally deciding, okay, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to go virtual, I got to do it in my way. Like, I want to do it Sabria's way. And Sabria is very eccentric. I'm the kind of person that I love to push the envelope and try things that are kind of out of the box. So if I said that if I'm going to go virtual, I want to do it where people are getting to do experimental hands-on stuff. So I was like, how can I take what we would have done on retreats in person and do it on the computer? So I got some certifications, you know, took some courses, mindfulness, cognitive behavioral techniques, things like that. And I just began to take all the activities that are physically done and just make them virtual in their own home. So whether it's people writing things, whether they're standing up and doing something physically on the retreat to show something or do something, whether it's breakout groups, I tried to find a way to make them feel just at home. And it's been good. But it's definitely been something that I've had to grow in. And I definitely think we'll keep this as a part of our company now.
But are you looking forward to the offline events?
It's a mix. So this virtual thing allows me to be anywhere. So like I could potentially be in Maui or something and be doing this virtual retreat. But then I don't have to be forced to always travel to a specific place. So I don't know. I think that I'm okay, but I do want to be able to travel. So I'm kind of in the middle right now.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand completely because right before the quarantine, there's a studio in Tustin that contacted me and they like, Sharifa, because I was only doing, I'm doing three shows now. I was doing one show at the time, which was just Ask Sharifa videocast, which is my one-on-one interviews. And they said, bring your show into the studio. And I was like, I don't want to do a studio because then as I travel, as I vacation, as I live my life, I'm gonna be forced to have to come to the studio. And so that's when I launched the Roundtable Talk Show and I wanted five guests just in case, you know, people got bored listening to me. That's what my thought was. But do you have any wine? I'm just stuck on wine this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. Jim has started with me. Do we have any wine retreats? Can we grab a bottle at some point and relax?
Man, so I don't have any like straight out wine retreats, but we were going to be going to Croatia and the Italy area and all that stuff. We were going to be going there in 2021, but you know, Europe doesn't want us in there. Unfortunately, the US is not allowed in Europe. So I don't know when I can plan anything because, you know, I know Europe is a great place for the wine. And we also have Bolivia, some other places lined up. So at this point we put everything on hold. My rule of thumb is Disney. So if Disney does a good job trying to figure out how to reopen in the US, then maybe we'll be okay. So I'm gonna trust Disney's journey and see how it goes.
Jim might have some advice because, like I said, we have some wonderful tours here in Northern California. What are your thoughts, Jim?
Well, we certainly do. I mean, I love all of the international wines, and Croatia is a really emerging area on the international wine scene. They grow a number of, no one can pronounce them, no one's ever seen them written before, varietals, which are just delicious. Things like Plavac Mali and so forth. But if you can't go there and you're in the U.S., where are you, Sabria? What state are you in?
I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
All right. Well, you know, there is wine made in every state in the country. So there may be some interesting venues close to you. California, of course, has some wonderful wine areas, some wine regions. One of my favorites is actually Paso Robles, which is a little, oh, wait a minute, I've got a visitor here who I need to get off my desk. I'm also a big fan of Washington State wines. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stuff. They have a wonderful growing season in Washington State, and they tend to be a little less pricey than a lot of the top California stuff as well. So
we like our prices here, Jim. That's what we know for in California. We're known for being expensive and we take great pride in being expensive. Yes, we say that with pride. We're almost as expensive as New York, but I'm gonna leave Cal alone. Okay, so what we may need is the wine, some marketing for the wine or for the retreat. So I'm going to introduce our next guest, Mr. Greg Deneo. He is an expert at online marketing and he's been sitting back, I'm sure, I'm going to assume, but he's been seeing some marketing campaigns in his head. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning. Actually, I run marketing for an event company like Sabria, and we are doing the same thing, taking an offline event and trying to make it virtual now. So we're like a remote work company. So yeah, it's been definitely challenging. I've totally felt her pain. We canceled an event. We were only going, so last year we were in Bali and this year we were only doing Austin, and had to cancel it and lost a ton of money and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Well, but Greg,
I totally felt your pain.
The beauty of it is, this is what we can do now. We're not going to tell the public. We're not going to tell anyone who's watching. Everybody just close your eyes. But we just need to copy and paste the marketing campaign for Sabria. Just copy, paste. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we've been doing, so we wanted to do the same thing as Sabria. We wanted to wanted to take the most important parts of the offline experience online. And so it boils down to two big things. It's like expert speakers and networking. And so that's kind of what we've been trying to do there is bring that on, is like kind of replicate that experience. And so far I'm pleasantly surprised with how well that's going.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think a lot of people are, The key word has been pivot. Everybody's been pivoting. And what I've seen is that the people who have any ounce of creativity, morsel of creativity in their body have been overwhelmingly successful. It's the people who tried to stay in the old reality, who said, you know what, I'm a brick and mortar store. I've always been a brick and mortar store. This is how I'm going to remain, who haven't been as successful. Like Kyle was saying, he's been more successful, but I think, and Kyle can correct me if I'm wrong, he's been able to take a lot more appointments as opposed to running out to this house, this listing, where he can set them up virtually and have listing after listing. I always say there's a blessing in every curse. So this has been the blessing for a lot of people. Was I wrong, Kyle?
No, not at all.
For you?
You were talking for me, but you were exactly what I would say. I mean, we were headed this way anyway, but this forced us to get there quicker.
Yes.
With virtual.
I definitely feel like this has accelerated the future. I don't think it changed anything. I think it accelerated the things. We were going to do online events anyway at some point, quote unquote, in the future at some point. And this just sort of made it that we had to do it right now. Mm-hmm. And it's been at an offline event, we would get 500 people and ask them to travel to Bali or Austin or wherever. Now we get 5,000 to 10,000 people to join an online event because there's no travel, there's unlimited space. So it's been a blessing is the wrong word, because going to Bali is a great time. but this has definitely been, we've definitely been able to weather the storm.
I think you've been to Bali before. I'm sorry, who was talking, Jim?
Yeah, well, I just think a lot of us have realized that life can still go on, that we're going to have to change things a little bit. And yes, it would be wonderful to be in Bali. I mean, nothing's going to substitute for that. Right. But as you say, if you can increase your attendance because the barriers for the attendees are so much lower, instead of spending $5,000 or whatever the plane ticket is to Bali, they can keep that money and stay at home.
Yep.
They don't have to take as much time out of their schedule, again, because they're not traveling. And it's all about, as you say, getting the expert instruction, which can all be done online now by Zoom or similar types of technologies. I think it's just kind of making people realize that life will always be different, but it doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It can still be good. It can still be productive. It can still be profitable. It can still be satisfying. And it sure in hell can still be challenging, but it's not going to end. So it's brought out the good, and it certainly squeezed a lot of creativity out of some people.
For sure.
I think another thing, just to piggyback off of that, that it actually taught us or should teach everyone, is that their preparation for times, in times that are good, know that it might not always be like this. And, I feel like it's a blessing now, but live that, lean and mean type of business where it's all about, low overhead and just, being able to, and then living well within our means, just to personally and business wise, just to be able to, when something like this happens, unforeseen, no one could have foreseen this, that, you're okay. You have a cushion,
Sure, you've got some resources set aside.
Yeah.
You can run everything. I mean, just-in-time inventory is over. You know, that's something from the past. That'll never be in part of any intelligent business again in the future, because we can no longer count on the continuity of the supply chain. So that being the case, you have to have a certain amount of inventory of whatever it is. Sharifa has to have more wine stocked away and ready, not expect to have to go out every day to get today's bottle. She's got to have that already in her inventory.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it is a different way of living, but it has its pros and cons like everything else.
Absolutely. I want to introduce our next guest. Our next guest may have been one of those people who not only is helping people get through this quarantine, but you know, the insurance industry is one of those industries that's always tells you to expect the unexpected. Good morning to Stanley Kayo. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you guys, to be one of part of this panel. I'm really enjoying this conversation and in this energy that we have in here. So thanks for having me.
Are you enjoying this conversation for real, Stanley, or are you just telling me that?
I enjoy the wine part. You know, I enjoy
the wine. Oh, you were, because I was like, if you didn't mention the wine, I don't think you was really into our conversation.
Well, you know, I enjoy the wine part. You know, I have a thing for Pinot Noir, so I'm enjoying the wine part, and I'm enjoying everything about, you know, Kyle, what he has to say about his business. I think I can relate to him in a way, and then from what we were talking about, because, you know, being part of the financial services, you have to be a marketer as well. And then and just like any businesses, you know, you could market directly or you can market indirectly, you know. And then I was going to add to that. I was going to say, you know what, business is all about connecting, you know, and also communicating.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And now, you know, people are now faced the reality that you don't have to, you know, the norm where you have to meet people in person to connect and also to communicate. You can still be able to help people. But the only thing is, you know, how quickly can you adapt? You know, so that's the thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I know we talk about, this is one of the beauties of this show and having five guests is so many different industries, right? Like, how was your industry affected? How was your industry affected? But the insurance industry, I think this was a time in our lives when a lot of people did a lot of reflection. And they said, you know what, is everything in order? So did you see a lot more people with, you know, requesting information about insurance?
Yes, and in large scale, you know, what COVID has done as far as the gift and the curse, because it's never a great feeling when somebody passes through something that is not natural, you know. But also the thing is that people are leaning towards it, looking in the mirror, self-reflecting to look at, you know, what did I do? What is my responsibility towards my family? What did I do to make sure that my family, regardless what happens in the future, because things are going to happen, you know? COVID-19 is COVID-19, but it's nothing new. You know, we have history of, you know, the Spanish flu. You know, we had, and that Spanish flu has killed a lot more people than now, if I'm not mistaken. So it just, we are living and we are focused about things that are very important or top of mind, but we don't really think about the future. We forget about the past. But COVID has forced people to really dig deep into the past. And instead of a lot of people, when they work, they're leaning their ladder of life or in terms of financial security towards a company or not just a company, but in any form of organization to take care of them, of their financial future. But now they understand it is my responsibility to take care of myself instead of having a company to take care of me. It's more about self, and a lot of people, you know, it's been a lot of requests for information. I've been able to help a lot of people, and then that is what I do. That is my passion. That is, as far as what is Sabria, you know, finding your purpose. That is my purpose. You know, and it's been great for people to have the education and knowing that, you know, it's okay to have the benefit package with your company. It's going to be there. The first thing you need to understand, that benefit package, you know, 9 times out of 10 is not portable. If you're laid off by this company, it's not portable. So now your family or yourself, even though it's less expensive, they're not, your family's not protected anymore, you know? And then I've been able to provide, you know, information in about their 401k. You know, a lot of people don't want to look at, you know, their 401k portfolio because what's going on in the market. You know, nobody likes to lose money, but it's very interesting. It's very important to know, you know, it is a great tool. It is a great asset to have, but you have to understand how that asset is going to be beneficial for you in the long term. So I've been able to help people around that so they understand what they have. And the solutions, you know, it's educating first and then the solutions, how something is going to benefit them and be valuable for themselves and also for the family moving forward. And so it's been great. It's been a great journey so far.
And, you know, it's interesting because this pandemic has really shown the insecurity of working in a regular job. Like, people always think that when you work in the 9-to-5, and that's not to bag anybody who does 9-to-5 work, but there's always an insecurity there because we've been taught that entrepreneurship is crazy. You know, that's how most of us, or many of us, are raised, that going that route is more risky, but there's a risk also involved in working a regular job, an expectation that your benefits will be there. Because now I've seen people where their companies have literally cut their benefits. But I've seen people where they have literally lost their jobs, and they have whole families, and they have nowhere to turn, and they don't know what to do. Unemployment's about to end for many people. There's no stimulus check yet that has come. So, I mean, I think we're in for some scary stuff after July, like after this month. I don't know where our world's going to be for all these people that are kind of caught in the middle.
That is true. I'm glad that you raised that point. If I may add to that, is that, you know, we are living in the age of information. The industrial age is gone. And then that is the difference that a lot of people, they have to understand that the industrial age, you know, you go to school, get a nice grade, and then get you a nice job that's going to give you a benefit package, and then get a home, get married, and then you're set for life. That, you know, that is kind of like now it's gone. It's a fairy tale in a way, because, you know, the IBM situation where, you know, you are an employee for life and you can have your benefit, your pension, there's no pension anymore. Yeah. You know, because it's very expensive for companies to keep. That's why you don't have pensions anymore, right? And then now you have the 401k that is a great asset, as I mentioned before, but there's a lot of ramifications on that, you know? There's a lot of ramifications on that. It could be a liquid if you want to use, but the reason why there's a lot of ramification is set for retirement. But your 401k, again, it's 100% taxable when you can have access to it. So we have a saying in the Caribbean, because that's where I'm from, in case you guys trying to, you know.
Which island?
Where the accent is coming from. So, you know, we have a saying that says, you know, fattening frog for snakes. Fattening is frog for snakes. Like you're feeding an animal, but you're not going to be the one, you know, enjoying the animal. So when you're fattening your 401k, you max it out. And then by the time that you retire, you're going to give 30% or 35%, depends on your tax bracket, to the snake that is the IRS. Probably not going to like me saying that, but that's the
point. That's okay. We get what island, Stanley?
I'm from Haiti.
I've been to Dajabon, the border, but not in Haiti. That's cool.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Stanley, I want to bring up a piggyback on a point that you made, which was, I think you hit it right on the head. You feel like, you know, people have always felt like their company was going to back them. And now it's like, you know, you have to look out for yourself and with what, you know, protect yourself. And, you know, one really right in the beginning of this pandemic, a statistic that I remember hearing, which was crazy to me, was like, I'm not going to get the percentage right, but it was like 74% or 80% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Like, they literally are just, you know, and you can't knock, you know, everything's relative. I can't just, you know, broadly say like, oh, well, that's bad that people are doing that, because obviously there's some people are just unfortunate to not make enough, you know, like
they have to live paycheck to paycheck. But I think this whole situation is just forcing us also to protect ourselves more, like you said, with investing for the future in ourselves with the 401k and the, you know, like, and just reducing expenses and, like, you know, just the whole grasp of everything.
Yeah, well, if I may add to that, Cal, that's a great point. You know, sometimes we say people living the paycheck, that is a real issue. And then the percentage is very high. You know, you'll be surprised to know that most Americans, they don't have $1,000 or $1,500 in savings, you know.
Yeah.
But now with what's going on in the market, you know, consumers' spending is a little bit low. Now it's picking back up, you know, as things are starting opening, people starting going out to restaurants and things like that. You know, but so now with the stimulus package, you know, the check, because people are saving a little bit of what they have, because it's a natural reaction, right? Because there's something's going on in the economy. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just save so we're okay. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, in financing, that when we look at it, it's like sometimes it's not how much you make, you know, it's what you do with what you make.
Right.
You know? If you can make $100 billion, he's not making them. That's the contract, right? If you're Patrick Mahomes, and then you make $450 million in 10 years, right? I mean, you can blow this money off. It's a lot of money, but you can blow it off. It's what you do with what you make, you know?
It's being financially knowledgeable, right?
Exactly. So that's usually my approach, and I have to say that, especially in my community, you know, not just the Haitian community, but in the Black community, in my community, you know, having financial information or having access to financial information is lacking. You know, that is why I feel that I have to be not just I'm passionate, but I have to be patient to really educating folks as far as, you know what, it's a great thing to spend. But it's another beautiful thing when you invest. Can you invest in yourself? A lot of people, they think of spending, not investing. You know, it's a different mindset, but in language as well. You know,
it's definitely better a different buying, mindset.
Yeah. Investing in assets or in, you know, things that aren't going to be paid. I mean,
you are your best asset. Yeah. You are your best asset. You know, you know, we can enjoy wine. We can have a wine, you know, industry or a wine company that is a good asset that's going to create some, you know, cash flow. But we are our best asset. If we're not doing well, what are we doing to invest in ourselves, to invest in our future? You know,
we got to live below our means as people. Like, we're not living below our means in American culture. That's our problem. And I think that is going to be what hurts us as a population, is if we can't start living below our means. Like, just because we live well, I mean, we have a very good life, but we chose to live in a one bedroom apartment for a reason. Like, this was a decision. I mean, as an entrepreneur, my fiance works as an IT, like, that was our decision, and we're living way below what we can afford. And that's what we chose to do. I think people are not willing to do that. And that's the problem.
Stanley, I think exactly what you were saying, Stanley, with a couple things you said real quick was like, whether you make $100 million or whether you make 10,000, it's like a matter of having that financial knowledge to be able. I even heard a little quick interview with Kevin Hart yesterday about, like, you know, he might make 10 million. Or, like, he didn't want to talk about the money because obviously that's a lot, but it's like, first half, take that away because that's going to taxes. You know, that's going to the government. Take that other half, split it in half, and invest in, you know, real estate or stocks or assets to yourself, and only live off that quarter or something. You know what I mean? It's essentially that mindset, simplifying it. But yeah. I agree with you about, I have some real estate friends who started doing some inner work in, like, inner cities, you know, like some, you know, and Newark and New Jersey and stuff. And, like, I do agree that part of the community and has not, you know, they need just financially knowledgeable. It really needs to, that is a good thing that you said, like, to be able to you know, educate people. I actually made a YouTube video or YouTube channel during this pandemic, and it deals with a lot of financial stuff. I just wanted to do it out of the, you know, whatever was on my mind. I've always been good with that. So I just tried to make that channel. So,
yeah,
I was going to say, I think one of the interesting things in this country is that in talking about this dichotomy between entrepreneurship and being an employee, if you will, is that our educational system is very weighted toward being an employee. When you go to school, you're taught skills that will make you a good employee. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing, no effect whatsoever on the company's loyalty back to you. You know, Sabria, you were talking about someone who suddenly, or companies that just downsized, whether it's COVID or not. I mean, this has been happening for decades. A company just decides that they can produce biscuits cheaper in a factory in Mexico than they can in one in Chicago. So they shut it down and, you know, 250 people lose their income, right, lose their livelihoods. Right. So I really think one of the things that we need to do and need to influence or need to speak about is changing our educational system. You know, children need to learn a little bit about saving, a little bit about investing, a little bit about marketing, a little bit about critical thinking. I mean, a little bit about logic. There are things that we talk about. It's not just all reading, writing, and arithmetic, which only makes you a good worker for someone else. Sure. You've got to learn how to be a good worker for yourself.
So,
because that's really where your ultimate security is going to lie.
So I've been an entrepreneur since my first company I started in college, and I've been doing the entrepreneurship thing for 18 years now, give or take. And one of the things that has happened, like that I kind of noticed was, it's not so much that I feel like it's such a mindset. Like over time, we've all kind of built this a skill set where if something were to happen in the short term, we I don't want to say easily, but we could accessibly kind of survive and build something online, whether that's affiliate marketing, whatever it is, that is a $2,000 a month thing. And while we're not going to get rich off of it, we could like breathe, right? Mm-hmm. So when I kind of talk to my friends who, you know, do, you know, are like middle managers at, you know, whatever firm company they are, and they've been furloughed, and I've asked them how to, like, why don't they do that? And they kind of look at me like I don't want to start a business, or I don't want to do this, or things like that. And it's interesting to me is like, but like, what, not only don't they have that drive to do so, but they also don't, they didn't even know that. I don't even know if they think that that's possible.
No,
and that's kind of the interesting thing.
I think they have a fear of it.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the basic skills because no one's ever taught them.
Yeah.
You know, all the entrepreneurs
But there's access to like skills. Like if you go on YouTube, you could teach yourself almost anything, right? Like it's not that there's not an accessibility to it. I think they don't even know that they could access it. And I think that's kind of an issue too.
Go ahead,
Sabria.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I've literally had people that say like, I love the fact that I can use as little as my brain as possible and make as much money as possible. Like many people literally just do not want to use more brain power. Not blaming everyone, but some people, like I've had friends that literally say, I am okay just making money doing a job, and I don't want to use the brain power to start a business. And you know what? It's okay, because I mean, not everybody can be an entrepreneur, and not everybody needs to be one. You know, I need people to be willing
to be able to work for you.
You're absolutely right. Not everyone can be. Not everyone wants to be. But I think that all of us in the school system should at least be introduced to the possibility.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to teach you that you could be a doctor or a nurse or a mechanic or a carpenter. Well, why not also teach you that you could actually own the business? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a big deal just to put some things out there to let children realize that they don't have to always turn to someone else, that they have, if they have the desire, if they have the personality that's appropriate, that they can have a different future.
Jim, I think
I definitely agree with Greg and Jim, and I hear everyone's thoughts. A couple of things stand out to me. Number one, when I first built my website in 1994, everyone said I was crazy. They said that you can't work from home, you can't, you know, make money online, you have to go to actual brick and mortar, you have to have a job. It had nothing to do with how much money I earned. It was just the fact that I wanted to do it from home. And from my dad's had his own business plumbing business, HVAC business in California since 1985. My mom has worked for Corporate America, one of the top 100 companies in Fortune 100 for over 20 something years. So I see both sides. And one of the things I've definitely learned is that it is a mindset. For me, I was laid off 8 times. Some of the things that Jim mentioned, but companies relocated, had nothing to do with me. But when those companies shut down, I was forced to continue to start over and forced to find another job. And I never wanted to be an entrepreneur, not only for the reasons that Sabria mentioned, but I tell people nothing says I love you like direct deposit. Like direct deposit was my thing. Like that was it. Like all you have, I don't care what else this company offered. Do you have direct deposit? If you got that, I will be here in my chair working for you 40 hours a week. You know, and I had to really shift that mindset and understand that I was never going to be the person I need to be as long as I was working for someone else. So this was definitely an excellent show, excellent guest, a lot of information. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching live, as well as everyone who's watching the show in the archives. And let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. You were going to say something, Kyle, so I want to go ahead and start with you.
Okay. Well, I was going to say something different about Jim's educational thing. I think that's 100% spot on. But now I'll go into, I just wanted to everyone to hopefully get from me that, you know, you can, one of the things I always thought I was going to end up writing a book or something someday, but I never, that seems like a lot. I got to talk to Jim about that. To be able to, you know, follow your passion, but able to, whatever that may be, and just be able to build your life around it and know that, you know, you could have, like, I have an entrepreneur, you know, real estate. And I just so happen to love that too, but it provides flexibility. Created an online company out of nowhere, you know, just out of necessity to follow this goal of acting and be able to have something work for me. And I actually wanted to plug a few things, which are, I think are great. It's stuff I use myself, and it's about the online company. It's the NorthPoleOnline.com. It's a lot of kitchen and grill mat stuff, you know, or kitchen and cool kitchen and, you know, kitchen and bar.
You can't show us stuff, Kyle, and wave it and then put it down. Like,
well, I just realized I had some examples.
You're an actor. Like, okay. You got to hold it in a certain way.
I didn't know how long I have on this. I'm sorry.
Until I breathe and I say stop. So hold it up a little bit. Okay, what was the other one?
This is ice balls for, you know, drinks, scotch. I'm a big scotch guy as well as a wine guy. And this is a grill mat. It's a grill mat to put over your a grill, which protects it. If you're on a community grill, it's kind of, it'll, you know, keep everything clean and sanitary. So you can get these on my website, which I developed this Amazon. I'm a serial entrepreneur, he said. So yeah. I developed this online company. So, you know, it's just a side thing along with the real estate. And yeah, I just hope that everybody, I know that's a little confusing. I just pulled this out of nowhere, but just wanted
that's
to
a serial entrepreneurs.
I'm a serial
that's
entrepreneur. I got a lot of things going on here. Let's talk about just one. But I just hope that everybody gets that, you know, you can follow your dreams and build a great life around it. And there's, it's just get a little creative and really you can set your mind to it and do anything. Yeah. That's about it.
I love it. I love it. Wonderful. That was wonderful. And Jim can speak to Jim after the show. Maybe he can help you out. I've also published 2 books. I just published my most recent book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You. And I did it through Amazon KDP. That's where most people are publishing these days. Amazon KDP. No out-of-pocket cost to you, aside from what you may, you know, pay for a web designer to design the cover for your book. But other than that, you only pay after the book sells. So I always recommend that. Greg's back there spinning. IT guys, come on. Tech guys always spin in their chairs. Greg, what do you have for us?
So the thing that I have is that you don't have to be an entrepreneur. You still work your 9 to 5. But as Stanley was saying, invest in yourself. And I do teach SEO. I love SEO. And the reason I love SEO is because if you have one article rank, in Google, it can literally change your life. And not, you're not going to be a millionaire, billionaire, anything like that. But for instance, if you take Kyle's grill mats, and you know, you rank an article about grill mats, and he sells 100 grill mats a month from that one article, that's, you know, I don't know what his profit is, but even if he's making $5 a grill mat, what's that?
50% profit margins. That's good.
But let's call it $5 a grill.
$5 a grill mat. Yeah.
That's $500 a month in your pocket from one article. Yeah. And not, like I said, you're not going
to
be wealthy.
I got to talk to you.
But absolutely. Not going to, like, and anybody could do this if with just a little bit of knowledge. It's passive income. It's $500 is $500 a month. You do that twice, and now you're at $1,000, and you're at a rent for your month. Mm-hmm. You know. So, and I think that's, again, I feel like my mission is that everybody should be able to should do that. Will they know? I know that that's not realistic, but I absolutely love marketing and SEO for that one reason. It's one of the few things that has the ability to really change somebody's life. Mm. And in a big way.
We love changing lives and changing lives in a big way. Definitely want you to come back, Greg, talk to us a little bit more about SEO. We didn't really get an opportunity. I was too focused on wine. You know what I mean? I was too busy relaxing.
Wine SEO, it's wine is always going to win.
yes. I got distracted. I was like, let me start with the wine. Jim, what do you have for us?
Well, it's been a pleasure being with all of you. This is a great group of people. I thank you so much for the opportunity to appear with you and to participate in this conversation. I think we touched on some pretty interesting issues about people moving forward in life and maximizing their own potential, which is a wonderful thing. We all need a break. We all need to relax. I guess that's where my end of things comes in. Just helping people chill out a little bit. If you go to Jim Loughran, and the last name is Laughren, jimloughran.com, a lot of information there for those of you who are wine lovers like Stanley and Sharifa.
Me.
Oh, okay, and Kyle and Sabria and Greg. Okay, everyone, I guess. But I just wish everyone well. These are difficult and confusing times. God, I'd like to stay on here for another couple hours and talk about a number of other topics that are important right now. But nonetheless, it's been great. Come to my website, see if I can do anything for you in any way. I'm always there.
Thank you, Jim. And as always, I invite you to come back. We'd love to discuss all of your topics. It was interesting speaking with you today. Stanley, what do you have for us?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you. You know, this has been a great time sharing ideas and sharing opinions on things that we care about, obviously. For me, what I have is that, you know, as a financial professional, I don't want to sound cliche. What I do is really, it's really fulfilling to me when I know that I'm helping someone, you know, having a direct impact on their family or helping them create something, not only for themselves, create a legacy, not just for themselves, but for their children, their grandchildren. And I'm always there. I pride myself in providing valuable information, because I think when you make decisions based on valuable information, then you know about the outcome and how that's going to be beneficial. That's going to be valuable for yourself, for your family in the future. I work with business owners and as I work with individuals or young families. So wherever you are, if you're watching the show, if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you can get in direct contact with me. Or if you are in Florida as well, because I'm licensed to do business in Florida, you could look for the website. It's newyorklife.com. But if you would like to get in direct contact with me, you know, Sharifa, if you allow me, my phone number directly, get in touch with me directly. My phone number is 678-577-9880. And then my email address is skayo.ft@ftnewyorklife.com. So it's skayo at fd.newyorklife.com. So I'm available to help any way that I can, because that's what I love doing. That's my passion, to really make sure that people are taking care of what matters and what's important the most. And then, so, you know, moving forward in the future, they can have a peace of mind knowing that regardless what happened in the economy, family, everybody, whoever is important, everybody's taken care of.
That's the most important thing, to take care of our families, take care of each other. I definitely appreciate you. Sabria, I'm getting ready for that. Well, I would say wine, but it's 9 o'clock. I don't want people to think I'm a lush, but I'm getting ready for the rest of my day. Sabria might do a retreat or two. So go ahead and take us out.
Yes. So I read a quote yesterday by Gary Vee that says, most people aren't lazy. They're just doing things they don't enjoy or doing things they don't love. And I am not one of them. I am one of them. I'm doing something that I love. Like, I am immersed in these virtual retreats. It's dynamic. I'm having a blast through the process. I actually led a retreat yesterday with a company, and I actually figured out that we can add a social justice component in the work that we do. So not only do I get to help people with stress management, productivity, and whatnot, but now I get to also participate in the social justice movement in a way that captures my talents and allows me to educate people and help them throughout this journey. So bottom line, you can create, you can dream, you can develop anything that you put your mind to. You know, my concept is so unique and different, and it's kind of ahead of my time. Sometimes I say that's why people don't understand it all the time. And I think that if you can be okay with that and be confident in who you are and what you have to bring to the table, it'll change your life and the lives of others. So if you want to learn more, you can visit project-passport.com. And I'm excited to retreat with you. You come join me, or I'm happy to bring one to your team. Kyle, I'm doing a realtor initiative called the Real Happy Realtor, and I'll be doing retreats for realtors in different areas like stress and productivity. So check it out. It's good to see you all, and thank you all again so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. We'll have to have you back so we can find out more what you're doing in social justice, find out more about your retreats, real estate retreats, stress, give us some tips. But I just want to thank everyone for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in live to watch the show, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support, but don't just support the show, share the show, visit our guests, go ahead and buy that book, and visit the websites. The information is in the post. Follow them on social media, send a message, send a tweet, and please definitely let all of our guests know that Sharifa Hardy says hi. If you're interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.